In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's gospel, we're presented with a ruler whose son is sick. He's at the point of death. He's dying. Now, this man sets aside everything he has, whatever is on his plate for that day, for that week. He's put it all aside. There is only one thing on his mind, and that is the welfare, the physical welfare of his son. And so he goes on this journey to find Christ, begging Christ, come down to my home and heal my son. He's sick and dying. And just the other day I heard a story, and the question was presented, what is the bravest thing that you've ever done? And the wise man said, the bravest thing that anyone has ever done is ask for help. And I think that is true. So often we are filled with pride, our vanity, and we think, I don't need anyone's help. I can do this myself. Have you ever heard children say that? I don't need your help. I can do it myself. Abram would never do that, would you? How about Amos? No? Okay. All right. But it is something brave when we humbly admit, I can't do this myself. I need help. And truly, we are social creatures. We need help from other people. We can't do everything ourselves. But on the other hand, we have to do what we can. And this man has tried everything. He needs help. He's probably called in the doctors and all the neighbors and anyone who had any suggestions. He's listening to them, trying to do what he can. But ultimately, I have to go to God. I have to find God. I have to go to him and I have to ask him. And this is what really God is waiting for us to come to him and say, Lord, help me, I'm in need, I need your help. I'm a miserable wretch of a human being. I can't do this myself, I can't figure it out, I don't understand it. Please, come and help me. And our Lord says, okay, I will come down. Or no, he says, go your way, your son lives. As you have believed, so he will live. And as the man is going home, he meets the servants coming and he says, don't bother, your son's alive, the fever left him. So what hour? And he tells them exactly what hour the fever left. And he says, that is when Jesus had said, go home, your son lives. This man believed. But this man asked for help. But this same man did everything in his power that he could do. And I think this is a valuable lesson for each and every one of us. Because we are all basically little children who want to say, I don't need God, I don't need my neighbor, I don't need help, I can do this myself. And we want to do it ourselves. But many times we can't. Many times we need help. There are times when we can do it ourselves, and there are times when we should try to do it ourselves. But then there are times we have to ask for help. And that is where the wisdom comes in. That's where we learn to truly be human, to truly follow Christ. Christ is God and he could do everything. But we see him in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to his Father in heaven, Father, take this cross from me. If it is any way possible, take it away from me. But then he adds, not my will, thine be done. So there is this mixture within us. We're made in the image and likeness of God. He's given us the capacity to do some very wonderful things. And so we have to What is that they say to the young man? You have to man up. Do the hard thing. Do whatever is difficult without having to be told, without having to be begged. Do what needs to be done. Stand up. Be a man. But then when you fail, when it is too much, when it's weighing you down, also be man enough to say, I need help. This is more than I can do. I've bit off more than I can chew. And don't be too dumb to ask for help. I can remember many years ago, Bishop Lewis had a quote, but he didn't know the source of the quote. I said, well, just go ask a librarian. He says, can you do that? I says, oh yeah, haven't you ever walked into the library? The librarian is totally bored. The librarian is sitting there waiting for someone to ask a question so they can help you. He says, oh, try it. Well, I didn't even go to the public library. I found their number online. I called the library, asked to speak with the librarian. I told her the quote, and she said, just a minute. And she came back and told me the exact source of that quote. And Bishop Lewis, wow, that was easy. I said, yeah, if you don't know where to look, ask someone. These people are paid to do something and they've got nothing to do. They're waiting to help you. It will make their day. And you need not feel stupid. And of course, Bishop Lewis used to tell us, there are no stupid questions. There might be a stupid answer, but there are no stupid questions. If you don't know the answer, ask. But it's not so always easy to take our own advice. And now when we look around us in the world today, there are problems everywhere, from the time we're little children in school and we have to do our schoolwork. What do I do about this? What do I do about that? I don't understand this. Ask. That's what your teacher is there for. If you don't understand, ask. If they didn't explain it so you can understand it, ask again. That's what they get paid to do. That's their job. And believe it or not, I think they really enjoy explaining it. They really enjoy helping someone. But the problem is, we get, oh, I don't get it, I don't understand it, and we walk away. And we carry that same attitude when we go to our job. Oh, let's see, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't care, I'm going to do this anyway, the way I think it should be done, and if it gets all messed up, so what, who cares? Won't be any money out of my pocket, right? The company's rich. The company can pay for it. They've got insurance. How difficult would it be to say, I don't really understand what I'm supposed to do. Can you help me? Can you explain it? Help me to understand. And I tell you, more times than not, the person in authority is more than willing to stop and say, okay, here's what you need to do. Here's how you need to do it. This is what we need to understand. But we have to have that humility, that decency to say, I don't understand. I'm not sure. And one of the most frustrating things for a teacher is to explain something to someone and then you're all done. Do you have any questions? Nope, no questions. And then they go and do it wrong. They go and mess everything up and say, well, why'd you do it that way? I guess I didn't understand. Of course, you didn't understand. But why didn't you ask? Because I was too proud. They won't say that, but that's the answer. I was too proud to admit that I didn't understand. I'm too proud to admit that I really wasn't paying any attention when you were explaining this to me. My mind was thinking about a million other things. And it's humiliating to admit that I don't know. I don't understand. I wasn't paying attention. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. That is quite humbling. But we need to overcome that pride, that vanity, and say, I need help. I've criticized education, spoken to Father Joseph many times about it. And he says, you see, I think it's all a product of the Industrial Revolution. You know, Ford, he wasn't the inventor of the automobile, but he was the inventor or the promoter of the assembly line. I see the Industrial Revolution as the promotion of an assembly line. Do you know what an assembly line is, Aubrey? No? Oh, well, you should get a tour of a factory. It's pretty fascinating stuff. But on an assembly line, you got one part of the car that comes down the assembly line, and a man standing there as a conveyor belt's bringing this part by, and he puts this part on, or he does this job, and then it goes down to the next man, and the belt just keeps moving. And the man stands right there, and he does the same thing over and over. His one part is to put this bolt and this nut together here on this specific part, and then the whole part moves away from him. And the next man on the assembly line, he does something else. And the assembly line's this long moving belt, and at the end comes out a finished car. You ever seen anything like that? Well, I'm afraid that we got the bright idea that this was the answer to everything. It's efficient. We can make a whole lot of cars going down this assembly line in a short amount of time. We can do it cost effectively, which means cheaply. And it's a win-win. And so we decided, well, the assembly line works so good in making cars, we can use the assembly line to make everything. And it seems to me that we took that idea into education and we said, okay, we want to teach all of our children. We're going to put them on an assembly line. You get to be, what, 7 years old, and you get to enter the first grade. Actually, it begins long before that, excuse me. You get to be 4 years old, you go to preschool, and then you go to pre-K, and then you go to kindergarten, and then finally, after all that, maybe you can go to the first grade. Is that about right, Aubrey? Okay, I need your help here now. See, I'm not too proud to say that I need help. And then you listen to a teacher in pre-K, you learn how to play and deal with others, and then the next step, you go to the next level, and you get a different teacher who's going to do something different with you. And somewhere along the line, you're going to perhaps learn how to tie your shoe, which I now figure out that they don't teach that anymore. You might learn your colors, you might learn your ABCs, you might learn to count. And you go to another teacher, and they teach you how to put these letters, the alphabet that you memorized, and make words. And they learn how to take these words in the next step, and they teach you how to make sentences. And every stage along the education system, you're going down this conveyor belt. First grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. And each time, you're getting something new added to you. The teachers are pouring something new into your head. But everybody is treated exactly the same. You've got 30 different students sitting there with one teacher whose one job is to put into these 30 students exactly the same thing so that at the end of the assembly line, we get an automobile that looks just like all the hundreds of automobiles that came before and will come after. Oh, excuse me, we're not talking about automobiles. We're talking about children. Oh, so we have all these children who come out of the assembly line. They grow, get their cap and gown. They all know exactly the same thing. They're all the same. I say that's a big mistake that we've fallen into. We are not all the same. We don't go in the same. We don't come out the same. And I think we need a readjustment here or something. To put a child through 12th grade of education, say, well, you didn't come out quite like everybody else, then you're no good. Say, no, you're different. You have a different set of talents. I loved sitting in a classroom. I loved questioning professors who were professionals in their field. I want to know, but I also realize that not everybody wants to know. Not everybody is interested. And there are others who like to do other things, who have talents that are different. We're not all cut out to be teachers. We're not all cut out to be in a classroom. We're all different. And we have to be wise enough to realize that and say, okay, I'm struggling, I'm trying, I need help. And even maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I need to look somewhere else to do something else, to study something else. Maybe I need to be out in the field rather than sitting behind a desk. Maybe I need to be in a factory making things, or in a workshop making things, or in a kitchen baking. It's amazing how much you can learn when you have to follow a recipe. You learn to measure and to count. But we have to have that humility to step back and say, I can't do it all. We have to have that humility to realize, oh, my children aren't me. I can't really live vicariously through my children. I can't make my children become what I wanted to be, which I failed at. But to step back and say, okay, what does God want of me? How does God want me to live? And if I don't understand, to say, Lord, tell me. Ask Him. He has all the answers. He is the teacher. He is the one we should go to. And I'm afraid that very often we put our religion on the same standard. You know, I realize we're all studying our catechism now. We just started up a few weeks ago. Isn't that right, Octavius? We started studying our catechism, and that's very important. But I think all too often we think of this assembly line. Oh, let's see, it's time for you to get ready for your first communion, right? So you have to study these, and you have to know these prayers, and you have to know this catechism, these questions, these answers, so that you can make your first communion come May or next spring, or whenever you get around to learning the catechism. You say, but it's boring. I say, yep, it is. If you approach it with the attitude it's boring, it's going to be boring. But if you approach it with the attitude, I'm coming to Christ, like this man in today's gospel, if I don't understand it, I need to ask. I need to find out. I have to do what I can do. And sometimes the hardest thing for me to do is to say, I need help, but I have to be able to do that. I have to be smart enough to say, I need help. I need an explanation. But on the other hand, I have to be wise enough, independent enough to do what I can do. And I think it's a terrible shame that students have to have their parents say, did you do your homework? Do you need help with your homework? Especially young children. Oh, did you put your dirty clothes in the hamper? Did you put your clean clothes away? Did you make your bed? Did you pick up your toys? How often do we have to be told that? Uh-oh, Eliza, what do you think? All the time? You're not a baby anymore, are you? No. We shouldn't have to be told those things all the time. We already know what we're supposed to do, don't we? We know when we should do it. We know when we should study. We know when we have homework. Why do we make our moms and dads do this for us and say, "Did you do your homework? Sit down, do your homework." Why do we try and make their life so hard? If you don't understand, ask for help, but don't make them say, "Sit down, do this, put your toys away." We have to take an account of ourselves. That's what growing up means. It doesn't mean that we can do everything ourselves, or we don't need help, or we don't need people telling us what to do. But it means that we do what we can, and those things we can't do, we don't understand, we're having a hard time, we're struggling, we're humble enough to say, "I need help. I don't understand." And then we draw closer to God. I mentioned putting your toys away. I'm not just picking on children, I'm picking on adults too. What can I do for penance? I don't have any time to pray. I don't have any time for this. I've got an excellent one. You want to really do penance? Go 24 hours without looking at a screen. Try it. No TV, no cell phone, no computer. I guess you might have to drive a different car too, because they got those in the car even. But try it, a day maybe when you don't have to go anywhere in the car. How many of us, for the love of God or the spirit of penance and mortification, to show God how much we love him, can do 24 hours without a screen? You think you could, Octavius? You think your mom could? Nope. It might be a little bit harder for moms and dads, huh? But it would be worthwhile to try, to see what we can do. And then also to realize just how weak we are, how much help we need. And when it comes really difficult and that screen becomes really tempting, to say, "Jesus, I need some help." He will give us something else to do. And we have a trick to get us through. You think religious are so smart and easy. They know all the ways. We've got our little tricks too, just like you do. You know how you get through a day 24 hours without using your screen? 5 minutes at a time. I don't know how much longer I can go without doing this or doing that. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make a deal with myself. For 5 minutes, I'm going to do something else. I can go 5 minutes without this. And after 5 minutes, then I'll re-examine it. It's a technique they use a lot with dieting. You know, when you want that bar of chocolate candy, can you wait 5 minutes? If you can wait 5 minutes, at the end of 5 minutes, you ask, "I'm kind of busy right now. I'll wait 5 more minutes. And if you get past 10 minutes, you say, "Well, I made it past 10 minutes. I don't really need that. I could probably go another 20 minutes or so." And minute by minute, hour by hour, we make it through the day. But that doesn't mean it was easy. doesn't mean that we did it all on our own. We have a guardian angel. We have God in heaven looking down upon us. And he's pleased with our efforts. He's pleased with our struggles. That when you go to pick up your cell phone, oh, nope. I'm not going to do that right now. What am I going to do? I'm bored. Oh, I want that piece of chocolate. Nope. Well, what am I going to do? I'm bored. I want to eat because I'm bored. Then we can say, help me, Jesus. And what is that but praying? Asking for help. That's the bravest thing we can do at every temptation. It is the fool who says, I can do this myself. That's the devil talking. When the devil gets us to say, I can do this all by myself. I don't need any help. I don't need to ask God for help. I can do this. That's when you're going to fail. That's when you can no longer resist that piece of chocolate or that screen time or this game or whatever distraction it is. It's the devil who tells us, I don't need help. It is God who is telling us, oh, you need help? Stop. Pray. Ask for help, and it will be given to you. The reason it hasn't been given to you yet, because you haven't asked. And our Lord told this to his own apostles. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. The reason you haven't received yet is because you haven't asked. And he can say the same thing to us today. What's your problem? I don't have this. I don't have that. Did you ask for it? Did you ask for help? Did you pray to God? Have you done what you can do? Do as much as you can, and then turn to God in prayer. Ask for help. And sometimes God sends help in our neighbor, our brother or sister, our parents, our boss, our employee. That help comes to us in many ways, but ultimately it is God who sends it. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Thank you.